Well, my name's Pastor Mike. I'm the lead pastor here at Epic Life Church, and I want to welcome you. If you have your Bibles or iPad or iPhones or whatever, and you got a Bible app on there, first things first, turn with me, if you don't mind, to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. 14 through 18, and if you guys will turn to that, that's where we're going to kick off this morning on a very powerful scripture. Go ahead and bring that up. We're going to go right into the Word this morning. I'm going to be reading this first portion out of the Amplified Bible because I'm going to do something a little bit different. You can actually hold your spot there if you want to and actually go to another passage that I want you to go to. 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. Hold your place at 1 Peter 3. So go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, find it. Hold it, and then come back over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at this for a few minutes. I believe that there's a message for the church this morning. I believe there's a message that will help you move into the direction that God's called you into. And let me say this first, as I get ready to kick this off, it's going to be kind of funny because I know the people that come to our church. And if you're new here this morning, we're a different bunch. We're a different group. We do things a little bit differently. We're some might even say a little odd, but that's okay. That's probably the pastor's fault, not the people's fault. But I'm going to kick off this message in talking about a really powerful scripture, and you're going to see some truth in this. And what I'm going to ask you to do is don't check out on me. And you're going to want to as soon as I get to the key verse of today. You're going to want to check out on me. And I don't want you to check out on me. Stay with me. Go on this ride with me. I promise you, man, it's going to be well worth it. We're going to talk about, for the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled life. We've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit over the last year, and I want to show you some things of what that really looks like in the life of a believer. We've talked about how God loves us. We've talked about how God wants to empower us with His Holy Spirit, and some of us go, well, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? And so this morning we're going to talk about, I promise it's not going to get weird, it's not going to get freaky, you know, but I promise you, you're going to grow this morning. How many of y'all ready to grow this morning? How many of y'all want to hear something you haven't heard this morning? Amen. Praise God. See, now that kind of response makes me quit preaching real quick. All right, so that's good. If you want to get out of here on time, that's a good response, okay? All right, because if I don't hear anything that I'm thinking you're not getting, then I'm just going to preach longer, praise God, okay? So let's look at that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 14. And in verse 14, it says, O sleeper, arise. Say arise. That means kind of wake up. All right, some of y'all need to wake up this morning. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ, I love this, shall shine, make the day dawn upon you and give you light. I know a lot of people, man, no matter what happens in life, this is a whole other message, circumstances happen, and it kind of gets to a place where you're like, you know, it's a pretty dark place. Well, man, I love this because he says that Christ will shine. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise, I love this, and witless. All right, so have some brains. When we come to church, don't check your brain in at the door, okay? I mean, sometimes we do that. We're like, okay, the pastor said that. Let's just do it, okay? Don't check your brain in at the door, all right? Don't be witless. Don't live as a witless person. Praise God. Verse 16, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. All right, here we go. Here's our key verse today. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. We'll talk about that here in a second. All right, that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Now, right when I said that passage of Scripture, 90% of our church just checked out on me. All right? You're like, crap, dude, I had plans tonight, man. You know, what's up? You know, I was going to do this. I was going to go here. All right, chill out. All right, relax a little bit. All right, I promise you we're going to go somewhere this morning. All right? So, this is an amazing, amazing passage of Scripture, but the only reason it can be a powerful passage and the only way that, like you said you wanted to leave here and learn something you've never heard before and never done before, the only way that's going to work is if you do what it says to do. And that's the key with anything that we study from God's Word, is we have to do what it says to do. Now, in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, it tells us, therefore, lay aside, what? All filthiness and overflow of wickedness. In other words, don't be a jack wagon, that's what we call that, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive God's word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22 is key. But do what? Come on, be what? Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So this is a great word if you'll do what it says to do. If you just walk out of here and go, man, that was a great passage of scripture, and you continue, it ain't going to be that great. All right? So in order for the word of God to be powerful, the way for the word to do something in our life means we cannot just be a hearer this morning. We've got to be a doer. We've got to actually do what the Bible says to do. How many agree with that this morning? Amen? Okay, cool. We're all in the same passage. Many folks like the word. It sounds good. It's nice. It makes us feel good. We walk out of here and go, ooh. Now, as a pastor, let me check this out. I can't tell you how many times I've stood at the back door, or the front door, rather, and people have left the church. Oh, that was a great word, Pastor Mike. Awesome. What'd you get out of it? It was good. Well, that's great, man, but what'd you get out of it? See, we like the word of God. We like to hear the word of God, but the word of God has no power and authority unless we actually do what the book of James says to do, and that's to be a doer of God's word, not just a hearer this morning. Any doers here this morning? Well, great, we got five of y'all. Praise God. Okay. Now, our key scripture this morning is do not be drunk with wine, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, here we go. Y'all get on this. It's going to be fun. Now, this passage of scripture, I'm going to blow some of y'all's theology completely out of the water. This passage of scripture is not talking about the drink. Come on now. Listen to me this morning. It's not talking about the drink. It's not talking about a beer. It's not talking about some of you little tequila drinkers in here, a little shot of tequila. It doesn't talk about a little bit of wine. Matter of fact, if that's the truth, that this is really talking about drink, what was the first miracle that Jesus performed? He turned water into wine. Well, that was non-alcoholic. Really? Do you remember what the guy at the party said? He said, dude, why'd you, everybody else holds out until everybody's gone and they're tossed. But you brought it out first. That tells me some good stuff, okay? So, now this is not a message on drinking, so praise God. You know, some of y'all are like, man, pastor, say we go out. No, now listen to me. It's not referring to the drink. The focus of the passage is not drinking. The focus of this passage, what Paul is doing is he's using drinking as an illustration. He could have used anything in this passage. He could have said, do not be filled with anger, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He could have used, do not be filled with gluttony, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said he could have used anything else in the whole in our world, in our life. He could have used any other thing, but he used drinking as the illustration. And we all, a lot of churches, I know people do this. They grab a hold of this one passage and they go, oh crap, we can't drink. If you drink, you're going to hell. No, I don't see that anywhere in this passage. So the idea is not necessarily about the drink. What is this about? Well, let's look at it. The focus is don't drink until it controls you. Say control. See, I can drink, but if I'm being controlled, then it leads me to do things that people around me think that I am no longer a believer, that I'm no longer saved. I'm going to prove that here in a minute. The word that we're looking at for drink is the word asotia. It's a Greek. Say asotia. Look at there. You've learned something today. You all speak Greek now. All right? The word asotia, it means to act unsaved. Say unsaved. That's what we get the word debauchery from. So he's saying, look, don't drink until you act like you don't know Jesus. That's what this means. Now, Pastor Mike, what does it have to do with the message? Hang on. I said you got to ride with me on this, okay? It means bad or immoral behavior that involves sex, it involves drugs, it involves alcohol, etc., etc., etc. The word drunk here is where we get the word for intoxication. This is a key word in what we're going this morning. The word intoxication means to be what? Under the control of something. Anything. That's the key in our passage this morning. This is where Paul was talking to the church. He's like, look, don't drink to the point where you're under control of something else. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Today's message is called be filled. Be filled. What are you filled with this morning? Now, some of you, I've heard you talk, you filled with something, praise God. All right. Some of you filled with some hate. Some of y'all filled with anger. Some of y'all filled with bitterness. Some of y'all filled with strife. Some of y'all filled with a whole bunch of garbage. Even that can apply in this passage of Scripture. We all get junk in us, right? We all got garbage in us that we just need to kind of get rid of. But Paul encourages us, says, look, don't be filled with all that junk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What Paul was saying here, actually, let me back up. He's trying to show us that we should not be controlled by the drink, but rather be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. Even if you look up that word in the Greek and the Hebrew, and some of y'all are like, I really will do that. Do that. Check me. The word drunk, there's another word that drunk ties into in the Hebrew and the Arabic. You know what it is? Tipsy. Oh, yeah. I said that. Tipsy. So here's the deal. We've all been there a little bit. All right? If you're controlled by something and even becoming tipsy to where you don't have, you're kind of there, but you ain't there. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? Raise your hand. I know y'all. All right? I only need two beers. Look, if I have a beer, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you something. When I drink a beer or like one and a half, that's where I'm at, praise God. Okay? But the word tipsy, all of the word tipsy and drunk, both those two words have the same meaning, come from the same place, and both mean debauchery. Why is that so important? Because even drinking to that point, Paul says, look, don't be controlled by that. He's not talking that you shouldn't drink. He's not telling the church, oh, if you drink, you're going to hell. What he's saying is, don't be controlled by it. Don't be controlled by it. What are you controlled by this morning? Many believers live ordinary lives because they're not filled with the Spirit. They're filled and then they're not. How many of y'all, some of y'all have gotten there? You got saved, you got filled with the Holy Spirit, something's happened in your life. And man, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, it just, things are great. And then all of a sudden life begins to happen. And what happens? What happened to that experience that I had before? What happened to that, man, nothing could make me mad. Nothing could upset me, man. Man, it was just amazing. What was it? You were filled with the Spirit. See, what Paul's really saying here about being filled with the Spirit, he's actually saying be continually filled. Say continually. See, you can't expect your Christian walk, you can't live your Christian walk off of one experience. You can't. The Christian walk is based on a always kind of renewing in our life. It's not about works, and I'm not talking about works here, but I'm talking about being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're giving out, and like, you got to think of it almost like a cup or a vessel, that we are vessels here. And as we give out from that vessel becomes empty. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm not talking about who you are in Christ. I'm talking about the power and the authority to do what God has called us to do as believers. And the reason why we're not able to do those things is because most of us run on empty. We're running on so empty and we can't understand. That's why Paul says, be filled. He didn't say just be filled once. If you actually hunt it down and go through it, he's actually saying, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It should be a more than event. And you don't even have to, how many of y'all know you don't even have to be at church to experience that? You can do it at home. Whoa. You can do it at the lake with a fishing rod in your hand. It's simple. Just like you received the Holy Spirit once before, you ask him, Holy Spirit, fill me. I receive you, Holy Spirit, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Just fill me this morning. It's not a one-time event. As you give out and as you serve people, you're gonna run low. You're going to run low. And that's what Paul's saying here. We have to learn to walk and live in our lives. And this is where it's key and why I want to talk about being filled. Because, see, we have to begin to see our lives from a different perspective. We have to start looking from a different platform, all right? And that platform is not an earthly platform. The platform that we got to start looking through is we need to start watching and living and looking at our life through the eyes of the Spirit. And the world, see, if we begin to look at the world or we start looking things through the eyes of the Spirit, then the world becomes a lot smaller. Your problems that you have become a lot smaller. The struggles that you face become a lot smaller. But see, what happens is we run on empty and we're not being filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And so everything in this world, everything that's coming against your family, the finances, everything looks so humongous because you're on that platform. You're living on that plane. That's where you're at. And he's saying, look, don't live inside that. be continually filled. We have to start looking from a different platform. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16, we've read this over the last couple of weeks a couple of times, but I want to bring it back. Look at what it says. It says, but the natural, what does the natural mean? It means this earthly flesh. It means this human that I am, this guy that I am, this natural man does not receive, say, does not receive, the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's a huge scripture, guys. Why is it that some Christians get it and some Christians don't? What platform do you operate on? Where are you operating in your life? Where do you operate at? I know people that come to church all the time, and they've got great educations, and they operate on a platform of the world and their knowledge. And so when spiritual things begin to happen, you know what happens to them? They check out. They don't understand it. It's foolishness to them. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. What does that mean? What it means is because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're walking according. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that we would not follow the voice of a stranger, right? And we know his voice. So if we're being obedient and we're following the voice of Jesus, there is nothing we have to prove to anybody because we're doing what God has called us to do. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has known the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him. Watch this. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. How do we operate in a different platform? We operate in a different platform by being filled with the Spirit. Why is that so vital? So that we can walk the life that God called us to walk and understand that you have the mind of Christ. I don't care what's going on in your life. You have the mind of Christ. We miss out on that. And we continue to go through these struggles. And God says, look, I've got a better plan, better purpose. Everything in my life, it looks better. It is better. The natural man, the flesh, cannot understand the supernatural of God. That's a good note to write down. The natural man, the flesh, cannot understand the supernatural of God. If we operate in the flesh and are controlled by the flesh, we will not be able to perceive the things of the Holy Spirit. It's strange to us. Now, we already talked about it. If you're new and a first-time guest, we don't believe that God is weird. Amen? God's not weird. We don't run around here and do crazy, weird things. There's no box of snakes up here, I promise. All right? But the thing about the Holy Spirit, man, is that the natural thing, the natural man cannot fathom or understand the supernatural things of God. That's why sometimes when you say things like the Great Commission, we think the Great Commission is go out to make Christians. Corey, we've heard that for a long time, haven't we, in the body of Christ? We think, hey, man, the Great Commission is go make church, go make Christians. And that's not what the Bible says at all. But what it says is, Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. Not only will you have love for one another, but then when he sent us out, he says, man, cast out demonic spirits. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Freely you have received, now freely go out and give. That's the supernatural power that we've been given as believers. That's what you have. But the reason sometimes that's so hard to grasp is why? What plane are we living in? We're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we first came to know, we were pumped up. Man, I know when I first got saved, I want to tell everybody, man. I want to tell everybody about what Jesus Christ did in my life. But then I also noticed that the more I lived kind of the Christian walk, went to church, did my thing, got my routine, the less I did it. The less I did it. That's why you have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5, 16 and 18. Paul's talking to the Galatian church. He says this. He says, walk. Say walk. In the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You see the battle that's there? Some of you guys here will never understand that battle because you think it's a battle that you sometimes can see physically with your eyes, with your human eyes. And it's actually not at all. It's a spiritual battle. The flesh and the spirit guy, this born-again Christian that's inside me, and this flesh are constantly warring against one another. There's a battle that takes place. These are contrary to one another, the Bible says, so that you do not do what? The things that you wish. See, the reason why we struggle, Paul said it this way. Paul says, you know something? The things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Why? Because Paul understood the battle between the flesh and the spirit. There's a huge battle taking place there. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's a whole other message that I can preach. But see, the Spirit of God, man, when we walk, there's a freedom that's in us. Where the law bound people, remember? The law bound people. If you didn't fulfill the law, if you messed up the law, if you did one little thing on the law, you became bound up, right? But it says that, bring that scripture back up there, Jake, that last part. Look, no, go to the other page, next page. There you go. But it says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because Jesus said this. Jesus said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Come on. Come on. Come on, Bible thumpers. What is it? Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's what he's saying. But if you're led by the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're being led by the Spirit, we're no longer under bondage. We're not under the law. Now, he's not saying that we put ourselves under the law when we don't walk in the Holy Spirit. He said the same bondage that the law does, that we couldn't fulfill the law. Do y'all remember the law? It's the Ten Commandments. Has anybody broke a Ten Commandment today or this week? Come on. Oh, praise God. My hand's up. Okay. All right. We all have. But see, he says that there's no condemnation. There's no guilt because we're free. Why are we free? Because the Spirit of God is going to compel you to do things that are different. They're going to compel you to do things that God wants you to do. You're going to follow in his direction. Y'all getting some? Come on. All right. To have success in this world as a believer, it will require new training, a new way that we view things. We should now perceive everything, say everything, from God's perspective and not our own. The struggle that we have as Christians is so funny because we legalize so much junk in the church and make it like a law in the church. And if something gets messed up, we just go, oh well, you know, man, I'm not going to be able to move. I'm not going to be able to do this. Look at what he says, man. I love that part. He says, we should not perceive everything from God's perspective we shall now perceive everything from God's perspective and not our own. See, I talk to people, and they think, man, I'm just foreign. Now, some of y'all know where I'm going with this. You see somebody that's sick, and you want to encourage them, and you want to pray over them. You say, hey, 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, by his stripes you're healed. Yeah, I know that, but you don't understand my situation. Well, I don't give because, well, I just don't have money to give. But that's not what God's word says. See, God's word says that you don't have to give because you don't give. God's word says that you're healed. 1 Peter 2 and 24, by his stripes you're made whole. The Bible says you've been delivered from the spirit of darkness and brought into the spirit of sonship. Our lives have been completely transformed, but we still perceive things with our natural man through natural eyes. That's why it's so important that we begin to look and perceive things through the Holy Spirit. It changes platforms. How many of y'all have never heard this before? Raise your hand. Come on. Total transform your life. Your thinking changes. Your perception changes. Your perception changes in the world that we live in. And see, God wants you to be able to operate at a higher plane than you've operated before. Why? Because you're King's kids. The Bible says that we have been delivered from the realm of darkness. You now operate as sons and daughters of a king. But in order for that to happen, we have to understand how the Holy Spirit operates within our life. And he operates at a different level. I'm not talking about weird, spooky, weird stuff that you go into church and go, what are they doing? You'll know. Isaiah 55, 8 through 12, a lot of scripture, but I want to read some of this. This is really good stuff. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but it applies to believers everywhere in the world. Look at this. For my thoughts are not, say not, your thoughts. Neither are your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, says the Lord. So are my ways higher than your ways. Now watch verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heavens and returns to there again, right? What happens? But the waters of the earth and makes it bring forth and sprout that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect. This is the Amplified version. Useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. You see, God's ways, God's thoughts, God's idea, God's word, the Bible, transcends anything that we could possibly believe. Why is that so important? God operates at a different level. But here's the key. It's not some weird hocus-pocus weird stuff. Because now His Spirit resides in us and we're filled with His Spirit, we get to operate on that same field. We get to operate in the same, how? Well, one, we have His blueprint right here in our hands. We have His Word. Then He not only gave us His Word, He gave us the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, be filled with Him. Don't be filled with all the garbage on this earth. Again, it wasn't drinking he was referring to. It's just the principle of being filled with Him versus being filled with the things of this world. Be filled with me, continually filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4:13, watch this, Paul says, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthened me. Why? Because Paul understood the plane that he was operating in. He understood God's word. He understood the promise of the Holy Spirit. He understood that he had the Spirit of God residing in him, so Paul could say, I can do all things. There's nothing I can't do. That's why he was able to do what he did. Not because of anything that he was special. He understood the plane that he operated in. He didn't operate from this world's plane. He knew that the life was not about what he felt or what he's seen, but it was from a supernatural power source, the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Paul says, look, he says, I am not moved by what I feel or by what I see. This is Paul talking. He says, I am moved by faith. And then he goes into a scripture that some of you might have heard of. He says, for by faith I must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Paul knew that. He had that relationship with his Heavenly Father. He knew that. And he said, look, I know what realm I operate in, and it's not this realm here. Matter of fact, it's the supernatural realm that operates the realm here, whether good and or whether bad. Paul understood that. He knew what Jesus told him. Luke 10:19, watch this. Watch this, y'all. I hope you got your Bibles running. Look at this. This is Jesus talking. He says, behold, I give you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, physical and mental strength and ability over all, say all, the power of the enemy possesses, and nothing, say nothing, shall in any way harm you. Now, here's a question that I've got you to, you've got to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say it out loud, but here's a question I want to ask. Does this passage of Scripture apply to us today? Does that passage of Scripture apply to us today? Well, let me help you out. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't do for one child, and He won't do for another child. He's not a respecter of person. So I would say yes and amen that this passage of Scripture applies to us in the very now, in the very today, that He has given that power, He's given that authority to you as the believer. It's fitting to get really crazy up in here. Watch this. Why is it that we're not seeing this? Why are we seeing this? Why are we seeing people be filled and be controlled by the Spirit? It amazes me how much people, Christians, those believers that think this is too weird for them because they operate from the flesh and not from the Spirit, so because they operate in that, they don't grasp it. We reject the very thing, the very gift. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a gift. From who? From our Heavenly Father. That's right. He's given us a gift. Why would He give us this gift? Because Jesus said before He went up to heaven, He says, look, I got a whole bunch more stuff I need to teach you. But you know something? I'm out of here. I'm out. But don't fear. The Comforter will come. You know Him because He's with you. But stick around a little longer and He'll be in you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We live and walk and breathe by the Holy Spirit. So what do? We get filled. Being filled with the Spirit means that I no longer look at things from the flesh. I view all things from the Spirit. Even those who dislike me, I walk in the Spirit. Look, the Bible says in Corinthians, I was going to pull it up, but I didn't. It says that I no longer view Norma from physical flesh what I see, Norma. I now, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I look at Norma through the Holy Spirit. I look at Caleb. I look at Corey. I look at everyone in the Holy Ghost. That's why people freak out when I tell them, you can't offend me. Now, I get frustrated like a human being. I get all this stuff, but offense will not have a part of me. Why? Because I choose to walk in the Holy Spirit. And so when I look at people, when I look at situations, I look from the spiritual aspect of it. I don't look at things from the flesh. We cannot live our lives according to the flesh any longer. If we're going to experience the revival that God wants for our marriages and for our families and for our relationships and for our communities, you've got to step away. People go around here all the time. We think that getting down there and casting our vote here in a couple years where we get to vote for our guy and whoever your guy is, that's your guy. But you know something? It does not matter. The Spirit of God is in control of this world. Well, I'm going to reverse that because that's a false thing. There are events that are going to take place that are supernatural. Supernatural, guys. Does that mean you don't vote? No. Pray, vote who God tells you to vote. But the bottom line is, man, the Bible says it is God that anoints the king. And so whether you like it or not, even our current president, he is there by the authority of our Heavenly Father. That's in the Bible. Study your Bible. Does that mean we quit? No, it means that we pray, we intercede, we pray for our nation, we pray for our country, we operate in the realm that we're supposed to operate as believers. Why is our world going to crazy right now? We have more Christians in our world, in the United States, is like the Christian nation. It is. I know I'm on a soapbox, bear with me. Let me get it out, I'll move on, I promise, praise God. Okay, look, we have so many believers in our country. But we're trying to operate in a physical realm versus the spiritual realm in which we have authority. That's how things change. You guys have heard it. Prayer changes things. It does. I know when I was growing up in the church, it was, PUSH? PUSH. How many of y'all heard that acronym, PUSH? P.U.S.H. How many of y'all remember that? What does that mean? Pray until something happens. But we're in such a Burger King mentality, I want it right now. We don't want to go to our Father in heaven and bow down and say, I don't have control of this, you take control of it and tell me what to do. And then be obedient. And step away from that and go, you know something, man? God is operating in this kingdom. It's spiritual, guys. All right, I'm off my soapbox, I promise, okay? I'm getting ready to close it up. Why is it so important? All right, I'm gonna shut it up with this, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, 8, 9. This is the other passage I told you to turn to, right? 1 Peter 3, 8, 9. This is gonna, man, this is awesome. This is why this is so important, that we operate in spiritual realm, that we operate with filled with the Holy Spirit. Finally, say finally, all of you, some of us, all, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Uh-oh, I'm stepping on feet here. Not returning what? Evil for evil or reveling for reveling. In other words, controversy and going after the man. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't care. But on the contrary, blessing. You need to underline this next part. Knowing that you, say me, were called to this, that you, say me, may inherit a blessing. Remember earlier I said that we are a funnel or like a cup? Listen to me, church, this morning. You are a funnel system from our Heavenly Father down to this earth to be a blessing. That's what the church is about. The church was created to be a blessing, filled with the Holy Spirit, being able to bless others, walk in the authority of the believer, to be the men and women that God has called us to be, not to be beggars or whatever, but to be the blessing. And see, he says to don't do this. Don't repay evil. Don't repay rivaling and doing all that junk. Why? Because you're supposed to be a blessing. You're supposed to be a blessing. We are the blessing that God has put on this earth to bless this world. Why? So people will see what God really looks like. You can't do that in your earthly flesh. It doesn't make sense. Because in our earth sense, in our flesh, if I don't have it, I hoard it. Come on, man, I know I'm stepping on toes. If I don't have it to give, I keep it. I hoard it. It's mine. Mine. Right? We keep it. It's ours. It's mine. I don't want to give it away. It's mine. God says, I'm a conduit. You're a conduit. Say, I'm a conduit. You're a conduit of the blessing. Be a blessing. Not returning evil for evil or rivaling for rivaling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. We are carriers of the blessing. That's why, do we not act like it? Why is there so much struggle to be the men and women that God has called us to be, filled with the Holy Spirit? We complain, we're negative. We call things towards us that should not be, got into discussion of it earlier. We call things that should not be into our life. Jesus said this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we call this garbage towards us. Stuff like hate and anger and resentment and bitterness and strife, we call all that stuff out because out of our mouth we spit poison because we don't realize that you and me, we're conduits of the Holy Spirit. We're conduits of the blessing here on this earth. And so we call this garbage into our life. We say things like, I'm afraid my little boy's going to fill in the blank. Or my little girl's going to fill in the blank. You're a conduit of the blessing. That's why it's so important that we change the way we view our life. I don't know what that is. Instead, we get filled with the world and we act just like the world. We become debtors to the flesh when we should be debtors to the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 12 through 14. Look, so then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We're not obligated to our carnal nature. You no longer have to submit yourself to the carnal nature. To live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For you live according to the dictates of the flesh. You'll surely die. And he's not talking of physical death. For some it will be because they call that crap into their life. But he's talking about a separation. It separates you from living the life that God's called you to live. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. He's saying, look, you've got to change the way we operate in this kingdom. For all who are led, say all, who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Are the sons of God. He's not saying that if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not a son of God. This is the evidence. We're going to talk about throughout the month what the evidence of the Holy Spirit looks like. This is just to kind of let us know what we should be doing. Being a Christian does not mean you're controlled by the Spirit, or being a Christian does not mean you're controlled by the Spirit, yet we can be. Oh, I got it. I'm sorry. The way I make notes sometimes is jacked up. That's just me. All right. We think that as Christians, we shouldn't have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit anymore. We take the Holy Spirit and we kick him out of our building. We kick him out of our church because we're afraid of what people might think of him. But God wants to be controlled by his Spirit. See, what needs to happen? Well, first of all, if you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing you need to do. Or actually, you might not have received the Holy Spirit. And look, it doesn't have to be at an altar service here at church. It can be. And I can show you evidence in Scripture if you want to see that. I don't mind. You can do it right in the living room of your house. Spending time in prayer and just saying, Holy Spirit, come on me. I receive that free gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift, just like salvation. You receive that free gift. Sometimes people have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll feel something crazy happen. Sometimes you won't. Then the Bible says you need to be continually filled. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who though through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from good works or dead works to serve the living God? See, we continually get filled with this holy presence. How much more shall he do that? You cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. See, Hebrews 9:14 tells us that even Christ had to be led by the Holy Spirit to do what he did. He had to be led to the cross. Matter of fact, how many of y'all remember the wilderness? Luke chapter 9. You can go there and look at it. The wilderness experience. Jesus was led by who? The Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So Jesus couldn't operate even as the Son of God because all things had to be done right. Even Jesus himself had to be led by the Holy Spirit. Just like we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in our own personal lives. When people say to me, I did this or I'm doing that and it's not working, I'll ask them one simple question. Are you doing this through the Holy Spirit? You can be the symbol of God's goodness because of you, favor has come to your family. Because of you, favor has come to your job. Because of you, favor is coming to your community. Because the Holy Spirit resides in you as a believer and you are that conduit of blessing, because of you and where you're at and who you are, you can bring the blessing to that place. And there are story after story after story in the Bible of men and women who, because they were in the right place and they served God and they honored God, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that God blessed the nation and blessed the people, blessed the circumstances or whatever. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 again. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But ever be filled, stimulated by the Holy Spirit. Church, listen to me this morning. All you see is not all there is. There's so much to discern through the Holy Ghost. We live and we operate completely in a completely different realm. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. It says, he says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without, say without, abiding in, being virtually united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in them will bear much fruit, abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from that vital union with me, you can do nothing. This union happens through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't something we got to fear. The Holy Spirit is, he's not something that, or someone that we, he's part of the triune God. You've got God the Father, you've God the Son, Jesus Christ, and you have the God, the Holy Spirit, who leads, guides, and directs us and uses us to be that vessel, that funnel system, that conduit on this earth to bless people. Here's what I'm believing throughout this message series, man, that you get this. I believe things are fixing to change in your family and in your world simply because you've decided to look through not these physical eyes, but through the spiritual. Your focus is going to change. At your work, in your marriage, in your community, maybe a situation that you're tied up in. And because you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's going to use you to change the situation. And it might be just your very presence because you're there. That's the God that we serve. You are that conduit. You're that conduit. You guys are that conduit. I hear people tell me, Pastor Mike, will you pray for so-and-so so that they come to know Jesus? Would you pray that they would know him and maybe get out of this situation? And the thing that I think about in my spirit, you guys know where I'm going, right? Is I think, why do you think you're there? Why are you in that life? God wants to use you where you're at.